I see a few hands. That reminded me of a song. I had to put my Bible down. Remember the song? How many of you know the song? Now, the rain came down. What? Come on, the rains came down and the came up. And that song reminded me of rain. I'm not going to sing it, okay? I can blame, I got a cold. I'm getting over a cold, so the reason I don't sing well is because I got a cold. You think that'll play out? Yeah. And that when the rains came down, the floods came up, what happened to the house? Come on. Is anybody here? Am I by myself? Yeah. The house went kersplat. I want to, you know, this week, the other day, somebody asked me, and we were having a conversation, and they made this statement. And they said that somebody was talking about the Christian life being a difficult life. That it's not easy living the Christian life. And I have absolutely the opposite opinion. I have absolutely the opposite understanding of what it means to be a Christian. Because I think being a Christian and living the Christian life is the simple life. That living the Christian life is the easy life. Because as I thought about that song, just so you know, that song is based on a scripture, right? Anybody? That song's based on a scripture. And as I thought about that song, it kind of lays out what I feel. Because, see, I believe when I know God and when I walk with God and when I understand God and I live by God's word, it makes life simple. It makes life easy. Now, there's going to be storms in life. Those storms come, you know, I was thinking as we're closing out this year, you know, if I was to ask you, was this a good year or a bad year, what would you say? You know, was it a good year or bad? And I've shared with you in the past, you know, does it count? Well, I had more good things than bad, so it was a good year. Or I had more bad things than good, so it was a bad year. Or maybe I had more good things, but the bad thing was the bigger thing. You know, how do we measure good and bad? You know, how do we decide, you know, was it a good year or a bad year? You know, what about next year? Is next year going to be a good year or a bad year? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, next year is going to be a good year. I'm going to tell you, for you, it's going to be a good year. You know, how do we wrestle with these kind of things? And what I wanted to look at this morning, what I want us to understand is what that song says and what God's word says. That life, if we build it on that right foundation, if we build our life on the right values, the right principles, if we build our life, well, on the teachings of God, it makes life really easy. It makes life really simple. The questions and the decisions in life are not that difficult when we understand God's word. And we understand that. And so that's what I want us to think about this morning, that it makes life so much easier. It makes life easier financially. It makes life easier when you talk about religion. It makes life easier when you look at your relationships. It makes life easier when you think about margin and time in your life and how to enjoy life. That when you step back and you look, if I build my life on some simple values, life is simple. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard to make those decisions and to go the right way. And I want to, you know, I just want to challenge us to think about those things and to think about how that all works, because it's based on this scripture right here. Look at the verse. Pull your little outline out of your worship folder. And follow along. Everyone, this is Jesus, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with great, and great was the fall of it. On that right foundation, storms are going to come. Difficult decisions are going to come. Questions are going to arise. And they're going to beat on us. And life did last year, and it's going to do it next year. You just can't avoid it. We can't avoid making those decisions. But we have it on that right foundation. When those storms come, we can stand. And we can be there. You know, as I was thinking about the message, Laura and I got to go to San Francisco for a conference. And we're in San Francisco and we're staying at this hotel. It's called the Plaza Hotel. And we're staying there. Matter of fact, it's called the New Plaza Hotel. Now, when it says new, that means there had to be a old one, right? So I'm in San Francisco staying at the New Plaza Hotel that's built on the old Plaza Hotel, because in 1906, that old Plaza Hotel burned up. So I'm staying in a hotel in an earthquake-prone city that burned up during 1906. Yeah. And I'm thinking about the foundation. Now, see, the hotel didn't collapse in 1906. The hotel was destroyed by fire in 1906. Then as I thought about this, man, I was thinking about 1989. Anybody? 1989? La Puente earthquake? And now in San Francisco, this hotel survived. But you go down the road a little ways and zigzag over by the bay, you go to an area called the Marina District, right? And that's where most of the film was shot. In the Marina District, all the houses were falling down. They were collapsed. Now, why did that happen over there? Because, see, that's built on landfill. And when the ground shakes, they say that ground liquefies. And those houses fall. If it wasn't for, and we were watching different things during the time we were there, and they were talking about the water hoses and how the boats had to come in, and that's how they saved that part of the town with firefighting boats. That's how they saved that part of town. But I think about that. What about our lives and the foundation we build our lives on? You know, fires are going to come, storms are going to come, things are going to shake our lives up. But what is that foundation? What are you saying? And see, I believe when you live by God's principle, when you live by God's word, it's simple. It's not that hard. It doesn't take a genius. All it takes is a little wisdom. So I want to challenge us this morning. I want you to think about this morning. Because I think the problem is, as I watch the news and as I talk with individuals, and I pray it's none of you here, that sometimes we build our lives on the wrong foundation. Sometimes we build our lives on sinking sand. Sometimes we build our lives on philosophies and ideas and thoughts. That when life has those questions and when life has those decisions and we're kind of being shaken, we kind of start to sink. So as I thought about it, I identified four foundations I see today. Just four things I see, I hear, I watch, and maybe even I experience. So if you look at your outline, I have it this way. Shifting sand, the first one is popular culture. Popular culture. Whatever feels right, whatever you like, whatever works for you. You know, that's good. Whatever's popular, whatever fits with society, whatever seems to work for you. You know, it's political correctness. It's tolerance. You know, why can't we all just get along? And we say those kind of things. And we try to base our life on, you know, just whatever fits. Whatever works. It went like this. And, you know, again, just so you know, what's amazing to me, whatever we think is new today, let's go back 3,000 years ago, and here's what it says. Judges 17:6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. We're kind of, you know, it's like, well, this is a new world. It's popular culture. Whatever works, whatever fits. And we hear these kind of comments, and we hear these kinds of things today. And we, it's like, why, just get along. You know? And we relative truth and those kind of words we hear today and all that stuff. This week, I was reading the newspaper. Or I read on the internet, it's where I get my news. I don't read a paper, I read the internet. and a judge made a ruling. This to me shows how complicated popular culture makes it. How confusing popular culture gets things all messed up. Because it just, everybody's doing it. It's okay. It just, you know, just go with it. And here's a judge that ruled the divorce was legal. All right. I forget what state it was, but this judge ruled that, yes, they can get divorced. The problem was, those getting divorced were two women. And the problem was, he can't declare a divorce for these two women because that state says marriage between two women is illegal. So the judge had to vacate his decision. Does popular culture make life simple? You know, does it make things, oh, it's just as clear as mud now? You know? And, you know, I read these things. Utah, this is a year ago or so I was reading this, and I can't remember exactly how it went. This judge made a ruling. I'm trying to remember how it went. It was either polygamy's okay, but bigamy's not, or polygamy's okay, but polygamy's not. I thought the words meant the same. But yeah, I mean, because, you know, I don't know, there was a show on TV. Anybody familiar with that show? What was that? What was that show about my wives? My sister wives. It was a show on TV, and they were living in Arizona, and Arizona kind of, you know, watched that show and said, you ain't going to live here and do that. Popular culture. So they moved to Utah. So now the judge in Utah gets involved. Doesn't it make life so simple? Yeah. Decision's real easy. You know, we live this way, you know. You ever did this? Maybe you had the discussion, or maybe you had discussion with your kids, you know. Well, all my friends are doing it. Why can't I do it? Anybody? You ever had that? You know, maybe you were the kid. Some of you guys go back that long, right? You know? Or maybe you're raising your kids, you want to wring their scrawny neck, and it's like, no, just because everybody don't mean you can do it. You ever hear this? Well, if they all jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge, would you join them? You ever hear that one? You know? See, we get caught up in this popular culture. You know, and it complicates things. It makes life more difficult to me. You know, if we just come back to some simple principles, you know, I mean, I look at our world today and it's like, we can't even define marriage today. And I only think it's going to get worse. You know, you're going to define marriage by love? Well, you know what? I love my dog. Can I marry my dog? I'm in love with my dog. He loves me too. I mean, come on, don't your pets love you? You know, if I'm going to base marriage on love, you know, popular culture, how many wives can I have? I guess Utah, you can have whatever you want. You know, I'm not moving there. One's enough for me, okay? And I got a good one. I can't imagine getting a bad one and having more than one. You know, We look at this popular culture, and it sounds good. And if you don't think this is true, you don't think this is a battle, watch the news and listen to somebody say this. We need to update the Bible. I have heard that in news broadcast. Anybody else? Anybody else hear that? Or am I the only one going, you know, making this up? I have literally heard people say that we got to bring the Bible into today's world and update the Bible. And I'm just, wait a minute. You know, I look at our world and go, you know, I couldn't imagine, 30 years ago, I would never dream we'd be where we're at trying to define marriage today, 30 years ago. Anybody? You know? And I look at our world, but we want to, you know, if you base your life on these popular culture things, you know, everybody's doing it, it's what's working today, it might not work tomorrow, but it's okay for today. It's going to complicate your life sooner or later. It's going to make life difficult for you sooner or later. You know, I'm just watching our country just going, what's next? Because it's popular. It fits. It's tolerance. We just got to have tolerance. Well, I'm going to tell you guys something. I hope, do not tolerate me, please. If you just tolerate me, don't. I want you to love me. Because I'm going to tell you what, I love you. I'm not going to tolerate you guys. Now, my wife might put up with me, but I don't want you to put up with me and tolerate me. I want to be loved. How many here, do you want to be loved or do you want to be tolerated? Which one do you want? You know? But see, we live in this popular culture. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to complicate life. And it is. Our court system can't even figure out, is it marriage? Isn't it marriage? This state, yes. This state, no. And I don't know. And the Supreme Court hasn't said anything yet. And I, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I'm going to go with my foundation. Makes it simple. One man, one woman, committed together. Makes life simple. You know, we argue about abortion. We have all these debates on abortion. I can make abortion really simple, really easy. Sex is for marriage. A man and a wife united in marriage. No need for abortions anymore, is there? Yeah. I mean, I just want to encourage you here. Think about your foundation as you're stepping into next year. What's it built on? Is it built on what's popular today? On what culture says is okay? Second one I put down here is this. How about traditions? How about you? Have you ever heard this? We've always done it that way, right? We've always done it now that way. Now, I want to make sure you understand, traditions have a reason for being traditions because they work. They were good. But traditions change over time. They have a time frame. And we need to see that. I mean, I go back I go back to when I was a kid. McDonald's was the Golden Arches. Anybody? Anybody remember the arches that went down the side of McDonald's, or is it just me? Yeah. How many? I mean, I like driving through nowadays. Yeah. Traditions. How about Starbucks? I remember when there was no such thing as Starbucks. Now, some of you have a tradition. If you can't stop and get your coffee, you're in a bad mood all day. Yeah. But we have traditions, and we get these traditions. And now, they do have a benefit, but sometimes traditions can get in the way. I was reading a story of these newlyweds. They had got married, and it's their first Christmas dinner. And his wife's in there preparing dinner, and mom's coming over, and all of this is going on, and she's got this ham, and she takes this ham, and she cuts the ends off this ham, she puts it in the pan, and puts it in the oven. He's sitting there, why'd you cut the ends off the ham? She goes, I don't know. Mom always did it, so I'm just doing what my mom did. You know? And so mom comes over later that day for Christmas dinner, and he's just, you know, not a very bright guy, because he's going to ask. All right? He's going to ask. You know, mother-in-law, you know, she prepared the ham, and she cut the ends off. Why'd you cut the ends off? She goes, I don't know. It's just the way my mom cooked it. So he goes, all right. So, again, got a lot to learn. He's a newlywed, goes, picks up the phone and calls grandma. All right. And he calls grandma, grandma, you know, we're talking here at our Christmas dinner, and I'm hoping you're having a great Christmas. And they cut the ends of the ham off, and I'm trying to figure this out. And she goes, oh, honey, I don't know why they cut the ends of the ham off, but my pan was too small, so I had to cut the ends of the ham off. Do we ever get traditions like that? Yeah. We don't know why we're doing it. We're just going to do it. See, traditions are not always the easiest thing for us to deal with. And we can't build our life because we've always done it this way. It's the way it's always been done, and we've got to back up and see these kind of things today. Look at what God's Word says. For you ignore God's law and substitute your own traditions, Mark 7 and 8. See, they were ignoring God's law, and they were ignoring God's teaching so they could do what they wanted to do. And I kind of looked around today. Excuse me. I kind of looked around today, and I, you know, there's some crazy traditions out there. I don't know about you, but anybody want to run with the bulls in Spain? Now that sounds interesting to me, okay, just to be honest. Maybe because I'm not so bright, but that would I don't know if I would do it or not, you know. And I thought, I was looking at some interesting things people do. There's a place in West Indies where they take their babies 15 meters in the air, which is, just so you know, about 45 feet high. Just so you know, I think it's, what, 31 feet here? So they take their babies 15 meters in the air on these platforms, and they drop them. Literally. I've seen this on the news. I've seen this in television. Because the child will grow up healthier. Literally, they do this. They still do this. You know, I've seen it. I've watched the TV, you know, History Channel and stuff. Anybody? Yeah. Traditions. They've done it for over 500 years. They say nobody's been hurt. Yeah. I might have been dropped when I was young, but I'm sure it wasn't from 15 meters. Some of you are going, yeah, you think you were. Yeah. And I look today, and I don't know about you, but tradition, fraternities and sororities and football teams, hazing. You know, they do the hazing thing. You know, in order to join, you got to go through these little hoops here. And now all these fraternities and sororities and college teams are in trouble because of the hazing things that they do. Well, we've always done this. See, traditions are not always good to base our lives on. You know, and we need to back up about some of these traditions and realize it's not always the best thing. Just because we've always done it this way. Is your life going to be based on traditions? You know, just because it's just the way my mom did it, it's the way my grandma did it. You know? I've been reading newspapers from 1907, 1904, Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, where my family's from, just enjoying reading. And they're talking about horse and buggies. I don't know about you, but I don't want to ride around in a horse and buggy. All right? We're going to go to Ontario, California. You imagine what it'd take me to ride in a horse and buggy, take those youth? We're going to have a hay ride to Ontario, California. Climb in, kids. That's not my mode of transportation today. A car that goes 75, 80 miles an hour is really nice. You know? Traditions. Don't build your life on traditions. Don't build your life on popular culture. That's shifting sand. That's shifting sand. Third thing I put down here is reason. Reason. Have you ever sat down and you're making a difficult decision? Anybody? You're making a difficult, and you lay out. Now this is, here's the list of the positives, and here's the list of the negatives. Anybody ever do that besides me? Come on. Yeah, see? I'm going to reason this out. I'm going to try to figure this out. I'm going to use my best of my intelligence. Hopefully you got more than I have. And I'm going to try to figure this out. I'm going to reason this out. And then you make a decision and you look back over and you go, what was I thinking? How did I come to that conclusion? I mean, it made sense. It looked right. I thought it was the right decision. I've said I thought it was the right decision. And it wasn't. See, we just figure if we can logically figure all this out, it'll work. If we can just make sure everything all adds up just right, it'll work. But it doesn't always work that way. You know, I don't know about you, but I've got some regrets on some decisions I've made. You know, now at the time, they might have been the best decision, but after I learned some new things, it's like, wait a minute. Yeah. I like God's word here, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it ends is the way of death. It seems right. It looks good. It all adds up just right. It's the decision I need to make. See, here's something that bugs me. People come to me and ask me about a decision they're trying to make. Now, you need to understand this, and I'm going to be honest, and I'll tell them, this is what I think. I mean, you know, you can do whatever you want, but this is what I think. Because they're going to do whatever they want anyway. It doesn't matter what I think, right? You know? And I'll tell them that. But here's what ends up happening. Here's what I see happen. They ask me, knowing that I'm going to give them a good answer. I'm Gary. All right? So I'm going to give them a good answer. And then they go and ask somebody else, and they give them the same answer I gave. And they go ask somebody else, and they give them the same answer that the two of us gave. And they keep going around asking, but then they get a person that says something else, because that person says what they wanted to hear. And they go do that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They got everybody lined up here saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. They finally said, hey, this person said do it. Guess what? I'm going with this one. They've all, you know, it's, their reason is, well, I got one that agreed with me. Yeah, these five didn't, but they don't matter. I got one. I've had people that ask me a question, and then they'll go ask Dan or go ask some Ron or go ask somebody else the same question, and they'll say exactly the same thing I said. Then they'll go out until they find somebody that disagrees with us, and they'll go with that person. None of you guys ever do that, right? You know, because we're going to reason it out. It just makes sense. It just adds up. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Who's got the greatest reasons? Who knows the future? Who knows what's best? Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow and the next day? You know, I think sometimes we think, you know, I'm smarter than God. You know, we get it all figured out. And then we raise it up. Okay, God, I got it all figured out. God bless it. Thank you, Jesus. I get to do what I want. Did anybody? Come on. Now, I can only talk about me. I have done that, all right? Yeah. See, we get it all reasoned out. And I just want to challenge us to kind of step back. Because sometimes our reason is not reasonable. Sometimes our reason is irrational. Anybody? See, our reason is really limited. We're all finite. I do not know what's happening. I got a plan for tomorrow, but I don't know what's happening tomorrow. I got a plan for today. We're going to get in our cars. We're going to have lunch in just a few minutes. We're going to get in our cars. We're going to drive down to Bakersfield, pull into Costco, buy gas in Bakersfield, get back on the road, drive down to Valencia, pull off in Valencia, get us hamburgers at In-N-Out Burger. Kids, that's where the kids are going to go, In-N-Out Burger. You know, get back on the freeway, take Highway 5 to 210, 210 to 57, 57 to 10, 10 to Vineyard. I got it all figured out. It's all reasoned out. Now, is it going to go that way? Put 15 teenagers in the car and tell me yes. There might be some other stops along the way called potty breaks. You know, I've got it all figured out. But we treat life that way. We think we can get it all figured out, and this is going to go that way. God called me to be a pastor. I felt God call me to the ministry. I was 19 years old. I felt God call me to the ministry. Not a doubt in my mind. This is what I'm supposed to do. 7 years later, before I'm preaching. 7 years. You know when I wanted to preach? The next Sunday after I got called. Yeah. See, we get it all figured out. But I just want to tell you, back up. Don't build your life on what you know. Don't build your life on what you have all figured out. You know, don't reason it all out and it just adds all up. This column and this column, and how does it all add up? I don't make those lists anymore. Here's the positive, here's the negative. I don't do that anymore. I don't. I did that for a while because that made sense. Now, I tell you what, it's for me, it's a lot of praying. You know, okay, God, here's this decision. I'm leaning this way. You got to tell me. I'm just going to follow you, but I'm going. See, my problem is I go, and then God's got to reel me back in because I want to go. See, don't depend on your reason. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't think, I got to get everything all figured out, and then I know what God's going to do. Trust God. That foundation. You get it all reasoned out, and all of a sudden your foundation is shaken. It's like, I can't figure anything out. I don't know which way to go now. Reason can get you in trouble. Traditions get you in trouble. Popular culture gets you in trouble. That's all shaky sand. That's shifting sand. That's a foundation that's not going to last. The last one I put down here in your notes is called emotions. Now, if you ask me, I think the two biggest ones today are emotions and popular culture. I think most people go with those two things as their foundations for life today. It's how does it feel? It just feels right. It just feels like the thing I should do. Oh yeah. You know, we just live by our feelings. And it feels good, and it's going to make them feel good, and I don't want to hurt them, and wait a minute. Emotions can be deceiving. Anybody ever been deceived by your emotions? Anybody? You know, have your emotions ever made you to maybe a bad decision or something that, you know, it's like, what was I thinking with that? You know, that emotion. You know, you just get sucked into those emotions. It was just. You know, and I want to challenge us. Don't live by your emotions. Emotions are liars. Emotions can be deceiving. I've said this from the pulpit. I'm going to say it over and over again. I do not believe you fall in love in order to get married. And I do not believe you fall out of love when you get a divorce. I think either way takes work. It took me 4 years of dating to get Laura. Yeah. Before we got married, 4 years. Now, do you think I had to work? She's laughing. She's shaking her head back there. Yeah, she's checking on me. You know, let's see, I was buying jewelry, I was buying candy, I was taking her to the shows, we were going out to eat. Anybody? Now we get married, and we have what we call date night. Anybody? Date night, once a year. I mean, come on, I got her hooked, I got her reeled in. We're in love. All we need is love. See, we live by these emotions. See, and we think it just feels, it's all feely, good, touchy-feely thing. You know? You can't live by your emotions. They will kill you. You'll go from here to there. Anybody? Anybody come? You get up in the morning, you're flying high as a kite. Man, it's a great day. And then all of a sudden, somebody says something. Man, you're lower than a worm. Yeah. Too many, I think these are the two most today. Anybody agree with me there? Popular culture and emotions is where most people live today. They can be deceiving. I mean, you know, look at all the depression we have right now and the frustration and the aggravation in our world today. Look at all the suicide we have today. Look at all that stuff. Just look at our world and look at how people are being led astray. You know, guilt and regret, depression. You know, it just adds up to all these kinds of, we live by feelings. Well, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes I feel like running people over. If they don't get, I want a tank on the freeway. You know, anybody ever get feelings like that? Or is it just me? You just get, I'm so mad at this person. I just, we live, you know, I can't base my life on my feelings. It just feels good. We just feel like it. You ever had, anybody ever raised a kid and the kid just said, well, I just felt like it. You know? Maybe you're one that did it. See, those are all shifting sin. You know, this popular culture, it's, you know, we just got, it's just what works, you know, it's just, whatever works for you, you know, it's popular today. It just seems to go, you know, it's okay. And then traditions, you know, it's, well, we've just always done it this way. And it just, you know, that's, we're just going to keep doing it this way. It's not broke, so why fix it? And we get these traditions and we, you know, we get it all figured out. I got my list here and my list here. And there's more here than there is over here. So I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say no. And I just, oh, it just feels good. See, I want to tell you, that's all shifting sin. You know? You can have that feeling today, and that popular culture today, and those traditions just work right now, and it all adds up, but tomorrow you add this little thing to it, it's all messed up, right? See, we live on this shifting sand. And so what I want to challenge you with this morning is, why not build your life on a solid rock? On something that never changes. See, to me, that's why it makes it so simple. That's why I look at God's word and I look at what God is saying and I look here. Here's this rains and the storms in life and those decisions and those questions. And they're coming down and it's one right after the other. And sometimes there's too many at one time. Anybody? There's just too many at one time. And how do you deal with all of this? And that storm just keeps coming. But if you're on shifting sand, it's going to crush you. You're going to sink. You're going to go floating out the window, thinking you're in the house. You know, I like that. Piglet was thinking he's in the house. He's just shoveling water out of his house, and pretty soon he ain't in the house no more. Did you see that? We think, well, I'll be okay. I'll just keep moving my sand around a little bit. I'll find some foundation down here somewhere. Maybe it's tradition. Maybe it's, I'll just keep trying to find some foundation. It's in here somewhere. And we're living on shifting sand today. But I want to challenge you. There's a solid rock. And it's God in his word. Look at what it says. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. See, to me, life is so much simpler for me. I made a decision at 17 to cross that invisible line you hear me talk about, that I'm going to do whatever the Bible says. I just decided whatever it says. Now, I'm not perfect. I already told you, I don't drive in front of me if you're going to go slow, okay? You know? I have battles. But I'm going to live by what this says. Popular culture, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think this Bible needs any updating, okay? I don't think you need to add anything to it. I don't think you need to take anything away from it. I think what it needs are believers and followers. You know, it makes life so much simpler. It makes things so much easier just to live by that. So I put it this way. If you look at your notes, God's word is a solid rock. God's word is a solid rock. When you're making decisions and you're wrestling with life, what does God's word say? It's that simple. You know, we're going to legalize marijuana. I couldn't imagine back when I was growing up, we're going to legalize marijuana. I think it's amazing. To me, it's so amazing right now, as they're talking about marijuana, popular culture. They're going to legalize marijuana. These states are legalizing marijuana. Read it in the paper again this week. They are homeless problems in Colorado now, on the rise. Was in the newspaper again. I've seen it once before because of marijuana is legal in Colorado. They have homeless problem now. I'm watching studies that are coming out talking about how marijuana messes up your brain activity. And they're showing it on brain activity, and yet we're still saying it's okay. You know? I don't get it. Now, the Bible doesn't have the word marijuana in it, does it? Anybody? I haven't found it yet. But I know it says be sober minded. It says be wise. Well, I don't see the wisdom in that stuff. You know, I watch a brother that I grew up with who, according to my little brother, was a recreational user of drugs. Functioning, you would have never knew it. Had a job, full-time job, making money. You would have never knew. But he was a recreational user of drugs, commit suicide. I told my little brother it was because of drugs. He said, no, he was just a recreational user. Popular culture. See, I want to challenge you. Will you build your house on a solid rock? Just simple principles. It makes life simple. You want a simple year next year? Just take God's word and read it. I'll give you an assignment. Through the month of January, here's your assignment. You got a few days to get ready, so I'll give you a couple of days break, okay? You got 3 days break. January 1st, read Proverbs 1, the whole chapter, all right? January 2nd, read Proverbs 2. Is that okay? You want to start your year off right? You want to get a rock under you for the year? Read Proverbs, one chapter a day through the month of January. And see what God can do when you take his word and you start your year off with his word. in your life. It just makes life simple. Sex before marriage, marijuana. What is marriage anyway? Abortion. It just uncomplicates life. So read Proverbs. This is your challenge. You got till the first, so you got a few days break. Start January 1st, whatever date it is. Just read it. If you skip one day, just read whatever day. You know, let's say you read 2, 3, 4, but for some reason you didn't read 5. You missed the 5th. You know, you get the 6th, read number 6, okay? Read it. See, God's word is a foundation. It's going to make life simple for you. Another thing I put down here is this. Jesus is a solid rock. Jesus is a solid rock. At 17 years old, I made a decision. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't doing anything bad. Well, I was paying people to shoplift and stuff. Is that bad? Yeah, I guess I was bad. Yeah, but I wasn't using drugs. I mean, come on. You know? But I was a sinner. And I made a decision. I crossed that line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come my life and take control. I made a conscious decision, a decision of my will, that through Jesus Christ, I'm just going to cross that line. See, Jesus is that solid rock. I like this passage here, Matthew chapter 16, a rather long one, but listen to what it says. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Now, I want to ask you, who do you say the Son of Man is? Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Who is he to you? You have to answer that question. And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. They had all sorts of ideas. You know, he's a good man. He was a good guy. Yeah. They have all, who is Jesus Christ? They had all these ideas. He replied, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" I'm asking you, who do you say he is? He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and flesh." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Now, just so you know, he's saying Simon, son of Jonah. That's who he is. "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter. You are a small rock. You are a pebble. And on this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." See, I want to put these two verses together. Jesus says, build your life on a solid rock. And when the storms come and beat upon you, it won't fall. And here, he says, and the rock will build a church in the gates of hell. When the storms come at you, they won't prevail. Is your house built on a solid rock? Is your life built on a solid rock? Is it built on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and his word? That's a solid foundation. I don't know if last year was a good year or a bad year. I'm going to tell you what, it was just another year. And next year is going to be another year. There's going to be some good days and some bad days. I expect that. But I'm going to have one thing on my side. I'm going to have God. I'm going to stand on this solid foundation. And whatever comes my way, through Jesus Christ, I will stand. So I want to encourage you this morning. Where's your foundation? What do you stand upon today? Who is Jesus Christ? Are you just going with popular culture? It's just whatever. I mean, it's whatever's popular right now. I mean, I've only been around a few years, and I've seen society change. I mean, I've seen, this is not the same world I grew up in. Popular culture, it's going to change. You know, traditions, you know, reasons, you know, get all those lists. Emotions. Or is it on a solid rock? I want to challenge you to build your life on a solid rock. Build it on Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Because life is going to throw things at you that you cannot stand against. But with God on your side, you will stand with Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths, that you love us and that you care for us and that you are a solid rock. I look at our nation, Lord, and it looks crazy to me, but you see it more than I. I see families and hurting families. I see individuals who are struggling. I see broken relationships and financial devastation, and I see margin with time and just a desire of who God is and is there a God? Lord, I just pray for wisdom and knowledge today. And I pray your blessings upon all these that are here. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe right now you got some storms beating on you. Maybe right now it feels like it's just crushing on you. I want to pray for you. Would you just shoot a hand up? I want to pray for you. Just shoot a hand up. Thank you. Thank you. I see those. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Lord, you've seen some arms that were raised in the midst of the storm. The water's rising, the winds are beating, Lord, and life is hurting right now for these. And so I lift them up to you, Lord. Help them stand strong. Encourage them. Strengthen them. Give them wisdom, Lord, to withstand the things that are against them. Strengthen their faith in you, Lord. I pray that they can see your hand and say, God is with me. And encourage them. Lord, for each of us, guide us, direct us, and lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to build our lives on the solid rock this morning. We're going to share in the Lord's Supper. And I just want to encourage you as we come to the table, I like making this as plain, and you know, we're building our life on the rock. This is the rock. This is an image of the rock. Those last days of Jesus' life, he called his disciples together. Because the Lord's Supper is for his family. The Lord's Supper is for those who've crossed that invisible line. For those who say Jesus is Lord of their life. The Lord's Supper is a time for us as believers to come and acknowledge that he is the rock of our life. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. And so we're going to share in the Lord's Supper this morning and acknowledge Jesus is our rock. And that Jesus is the foundation for our life. And in that upper room, he called his disciples together. And as he was preparing for them for the last part and the last part of life, I'm going to turn over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 26. You might want to read this at some point in the next few days. Because as Jesus was talking with him, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Well, I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to bow our heads for just a few moments. I'm going to invite you to the table this morning. But I want you to think about the rock of your life. Is your life built on the solid rock? Is your life built on Jesus Christ and his word? Are you ready to face the storms of this next year? I thought this was a good way to lay a foundation for the new year. To come and acknowledge the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There's nothing special about this juice other than it's a grape juice that symbolizes the blood. There's nothing special about the unleavened bread other than it's just bread that symbolizes the body. The body and blood of Jesus Christ that form that rock of our salvation that we share in this morning. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and for what you did. Lord, I look upon the Christmas tree on one side. It draws our attention to Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman and all the make-believe things. But on the other side, Lord, I see your arms outstretched, your arms calling us home, your arms inviting us into your presence. And so, Lord, we come into your presence to sit at your table. Lead us, guide us, and teach us to live on the solid rock. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to go ahead. We're going to sing this last song as invitation. I want you to sing as you walk, because the words are here. You don't have books in your hands. They're going to lead us, but I want you to sing our invitation song. And as we sing, I want you to come. Take a cup, take a bread, but don't eat it yet. Just take it back to your seat, and we'll all eat it together at one time. So I'm going to go ahead, and we're going to go ahead and sing. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and then you come as the Spirit leads. You come as God directs, and you come and take a cup and take a bread, because your life is built on the solid rock. You come to Jesus. Let's sing. I got it. They brought our children in, and I feel they need the honor of sharing the Lord's Supper too. And it says that he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body. Take, eat." Then he took a cup and gave thanks. Let's pray once again. Lord, I thank you that you love us even when we are unlovable. When we ignore, when we reject, when we simply just do things our own way, that you still love us. And that you shed your blood for us. And so, Lord, as I drink this cup, I thank you for Jesus Christ. Paying my price, our price. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Drink it. I encourage you to keep the cups. I put mine on top of my desk in my office. So there's not many there yet. We're going to have many in there as we go. Because it's a reminder. That's what this is supposed to be. The Bible never tells us how often to do it. Never tells us when to do it. He says as often as you do it, remember. So I want you to remember this morning, as you close out your year and you look to the next, are you built on a solid foundation? Have you built your life on a solid rock, the rock of Jesus Christ? Go ahead and be seated right where you're at. I'm going to go ahead and have our ushers prepare to come forward. So I'm going to encourage you to get your little blue card out. Maybe there's something you want to share with me. Maybe there's a question. Maybe there's something I shared. Maybe there's a burden. Maybe you're in the middle of a storm and you want me to pray for you. Take a few minutes to fill that card out. Let me know what God is doing. So I'm going to go ahead and invite our ushers forward. One of them will lead us in a word.